We spend time thinking about stocking the kitchen pantry, but what about stocking a bar pantry? Home bartenders David and Leslie Salmonson claim that all you need to launch the perfect home bar is a dozen bottles, and that's not all booze, and a few essential tools. Well, from there, the cocktail combinations are practically limitless. David and Leslie have written a new book called The 12 Bottle Bar, a dozen bottles, hundreds of cocktails, a new way to drink. Our producer Jennifer Russell caught up with them at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall in downtown St. Paul.
David and Leslie, it's great fun to be able to meet up with you both.
Absolute pleasure on our
And
part.
At the bar, no less.
Yes, a perfect place to do this.
Well, you'll find us at one most of the time.
Okay, so tell us what we need to build a great liquor pantry or bar at home. And let's start out with the bottles. What should we have on hand?
You need 12 bottles, 7 spirits, 1 liqueur, and what we call sort of our 4 special ingredients, which are vermouths and bitters. Starting with the light spirits, you have gin, which is the king of the cocktail spirits. It was the original spirit that everybody used in drinks and was incredibly popular, still is. We use that for the botanicals. Nothing else has botanicals like gin. We also have genever, which is not truly a light spirit, but because it's the forefather of gin, it's kind of in that category. And genever is our ringer, the one that surprises everybody, and it has this beautiful combination of aromatics and maltiness that gives it a bridge across many categories, from rum to gins to brandy to whatever you want to use it in. And then also vodka. Because it is a top seller in the markets, you can't avoid vodka in drinks today, and it's also an incredible conduit of flavor in terms of what you put in your drink, letting that shine through, and also a base for making liqueurs, so you open up a whole nother door to your pantry to create more drinks.
And white rum, don't forget.
And white rum, of course, yes. We did choose 2 rums, and David will speak to the amber rum, but white rum we included because those are some of our favorite summer drinks, mojitos, daiquiris, those beautiful fruit-forward but still crisp but lovely sweetness, all balanced, and it takes you to a tropical island, so how can you skip that?
So just natural segue from there. So amber rum would be next, and again, darker than the light rum, aged, a lot of barrel characteristics, and you know, vanilla that's coming out of the oak, tropical fruit flavors as well. Marries beautifully with the next bottle, which would be brandy, cognac style brandy specifically. Again, one of the most elegant spirits that you can find, and one of the most versatile. You can use it in anything from a sweet drink to a very stirred brown drink if you'd like. And then rye, and we just love, everybody has a whiskey favorite. We love rye because you can get examples that go up to 100% rye mash. It's incredibly spicy when mixed with sugar and citrus and other ingredients. It just makes a beautiful Manhattan. It makes a beautiful sour. And then those are our 7 base spirits, and so then we complement those first with 1 liqueur. Lots of liqueurs on the market. We think that you need orange liqueur. We love Cointreau because we like triple sec because it's clear, first of all. So whatever drink you put it into, it's not going to color the drink. The king of triple sec is Cointreau. It is just an amazing, amazingly well-made spirit. Have no problem with the other ones, but it's the most flexible thing. And a pure, pure orange flavor. And then we get into
Our vermouths. We have a sweet and a dry vermouth. Your sweet vermouth is also your red vermouth, which is used in things like Manhattans and can add a lovely, slightly herbal but sweet characteristic. And your dry vermouth, also white vermouth, is of course used if you have a proper martini. It's used in a martini, which is the king of cocktails, and any number of other drinks, also adding that herbal characteristic but an underlying dry note. And then our final 2 bottles are bitters. And orange bitters, which of course adds the brightness of orange, but that bitter characteristic, and aromatic bitters, which have all of those Christmas spices like cinnamon and allspice and things of that sort. And that's all of them.
Okay, so genever is on your list, which I have to tell you made Lynn Rossetto Casper really happy.
I like that about her.
Yes, we do.
So I understand that it's an old spirit that's making a comeback. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Why don't you take this one?
Okay. Genever is absolutely making a comeback. This was, David likes to call it a proto spirit because it is quite old. Historically, it was used as a medicine in Holland.
Back in the plague, the Il Dottore and the Mass, yes. They filled them full of juniper. Just breathing the juniper
they
scent
thought that the aromatics,
was supposed to keep the plague away.
Right.
So.
And they also would have these little walking sticks that had a pill box. They'd open and smell it. And people would, in fact, also burn juniper and use it in their home during the plague. So there's this long history of it being medicinal. And in fact, cocktails started the same way as a medicine, a health-giving tonic. It evolved into something recreational. And when it did that, really was with, I would say at least in Holland, with Bols. Because Bols in the 1500s was getting into the liqueur business, and of course you had all of the grains, and they moved into making Genever as a recreational spirit with juniper as the top note and other botanicals. There's also Genever from Belgium. Deep Nine is the first one that's going to get imported to this country, which is here now in small markets, and it's exquisite.
In terms of base flavor, though,
yeah.
So when people see Genever on a bottle, they have no idea. It's a lot of people of what it is. And really, just to think of it as, if you take a whiskey, so you take that sweet malt quality of a white whiskey, and then you redistill it with botanicals, so you get those gin high notes. It can make it a little tricky to mix with, but it also makes it infinitely flexible. So we use it in place of gin, obviously, in place of whiskey, obviously. We use it in a version of a margarita. It's a lot like mezcal from our point of view in terms of that funkiness. And then you like it in?
Well, I like it in lots of things. Which drink are you particularly thinking of? Yes, tiki drinks. You'd never think that Genever would shine in a tiki drink because most people think of tiki drinks primarily being rum. But rum has its own sort of aromatic, bold structure. And not only does Genever marry beautifully with rum as an interesting combination, but it serves as a fabulous base for tiki because it gives you this surprising aromatic element that you might not expect. And when you combine it with the right fruits and citrus, you get a completely new drink, and it opens just a whole new category of tiki drinks, which is great because tiki is making an enormous comeback.
Okay, so for those of us on a budget, how low can we go when it comes to price and quality?
There are two different ways you can approach the idea of cost with our 12 bottles. So if all in, if you were to buy all 12 bottles, we have low-end choices and high-end choices. All at the low end, it would be about $200 for your entire bar. And you can make a good number of drinks with this for any number of people. If you were buying all high-end spirits, you're looking at about $350. But you don't have to buy all the bottles.
In fact, we show you how to set up a one-bottle bar. What started cocktails was punch. So if we go to that very basic, you take a spirit and then you mix non-spirity things with it, citrus, sugar, spices, if you will. You can make glorious drinks. We add to that, we have a follow-up chapter called the three-bottle bar where we introduce bitters and vermouth. And then a four-bottle bar where we introduce liqueur. Now, you can mix and match. So again, if you only drink one spirit, you still find use in the recipes.
So that's great. For about $200, people can have a full collection and you can build up as you wish.
Exactly.
And what about classic or unexpected ingredients to sort of enhance or go with a cocktail?
Well, there are a lot of things that just using a little bit of sugar, some water and an herb, or some kind of fruit will make an entirely new element for your drink. So that includes syrups and shrubs, which are a really exciting thing. A shrub is fruit and sugar and vinegar. So again, just things that are in your pantry.
A very colonial drink. So this is not a new invention. This is what George Washington and Paul Revere would drink.
Right. So those bases. Simple syrup is really your king of additions. And with simple syrup, you can do whatever you want. You can make rosemary simple syrup, basil simple syrup, lemon simple syrup.
Hibiscus is lovely. If you want to make a drink pink,
Hibiscus simple syrup.
Simple syrup is just equal parts sugar and water. You just heat the water slightly if you wanted to. You could just mix them together, but if you heat the water just slightly, dissolve the sugar in there.
Okay, so you stress the importance of ice. What should we know about ice?
Everything. So ice is as important an ingredient to your cocktail as heat is to a saute. Let's just take an average sour, it's a good example, or a martini even. If you start with 3 ounces of ingredients, you're going to end up with a 4 ounce drink. So that means that the water from dilution from that ice via shaking or stirring is 25% of that drink. That's a substantial ingredient in anything. So it's very important how you apply ice. Now, the bigger the ice, the slower the dilution, the finer the ice, the quicker it will dilute, and the quicker it will chill because of that dilution process. So in something like a tiki drink or a swizzle, you want that chill. A mint julep, you want that immediate chill. You want to get that drink ice cold. We can talk hours about ice, but you want to use the best quality ice you can get.
Something worth noting is if you are going to make your own ice and it does not have a cover on the ice tray, make sure you cover it with plastic, because even the cleanest freezer can leach flavors, and leached flavor into an ice cube is leached flavor into a drink.
And break out those bundt pans, make beautiful ice
for
molds.
Punches.
Put edible flowers and herbs in there and put it into your punch
bowl. And you can do that in your cubes too. The punch bowl story actually brings up a very interesting point, which is the idea of responsibility. And that's not meant to harp or, be a public service announcement. But when you have guests, they are in your care. And you do need to think about what you are serving them. And not only does that mean, for instance, maybe something like a punch that will dilute and offer you that strong to weak possibility, but also things like having alternatives. We do virgin drinks in the book for exactly that reason. Not just because someone might have had enough to drink and wants to still be part of the party, but also there are a lot of people for circumstance or choice who don't drink. And it's a really awkward situation, as many people know, when you go to a party and everybody's drinking and you have nothing to enjoy in your hand. To us, drinking cocktails has never been about getting drunk. Drinking cocktails is about really luxuriating in the flavor and the experience. And you can luxuriate in flavor and experience in something that does not have a spirit in it, as long as the flavors are bright and complex and interesting.
I think one thing that always stands in the back of my mind with regard to being a good host is my parents grew up on farms and what have you, so we're a very different generation. And Leslie and I have had the fortune to travel the world and go eat, because that's what we like to do when we travel. And my mother once asked me, she goes, when you go to these fancy restaurants, don't you ever feel out of place? And my response to her was, if it's a good restaurant, they won't let you. And I think that is the ultimate responsibility of a host, whether it's a commercial host or whether it's inviting people. You're my friend, you're coming to my house, it's great that we're friends, but when you enter the door, I am your host, and I have a responsibility to take care of you as a guest. I have a responsibility to offer you something tasty to drink, and if I'm offering you something to drink, I better be offering you something to eat as well. And if I'm offering you something to drink, I better know how much I'm offering you to drink if you're driving home. So you have a real responsibility to not only take care of your guests from a social standpoint, but from a practical standpoint as well.
Also, you have a responsibility to enjoy your own party. Many times, and we did this for years, we would get so bound up in the presentation and all these crazy dishes we wanted to make for our friends.
You want to show off, right?
Yeah. And in showing off, you spend your entire night in the kitchen. And we have finally discovered, to our credit, after all these years, don't go overboard. Make drinks that you can prepare ahead of time, or that can be batched, which means you make large amounts of them, or that you can even show your friends how to make.
I love that. That is really great advice. Leslie and David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. This has been wonderful.
David and Leslie Salmonson are the authors of The 12-Bottle Bar, a dozen bottles, hundreds of cocktails, a new way to drink. Special thanks to the folks at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall in downtown St. Paul for letting us play at the bar. David and Leslie have created a special cocktail just for us. It's called the Splendid Cup, and you're going to find that recipe along with a list of 12 essential bottles and a whole lot more on the website, splendidtable.org.